On today's episode of Insights, we go back to January. Are you on pace to hit your 2019 content marketing goals? We say what everyone's thinking. Social media can't fix your broken candidate experience. And we dig into the Appcast Recruitment Media Benchmark Report. Today's episode of Insights is brought to you by the Idea Club, Haley Marketing's playground for creative thought, experiments, and inspiration. From ebooks and white papers to how-to articles and on-demand webinars, you'll find everything you need to stand out, stay top of mind, and sell more. To learn more, visit haleymarketing.com/ideaclub. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights. Tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your content marketing, social recruiting, employer branding, and digital marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing, Matt Lozar. Matt, you're back from the beach. Welcome to episode 13.
Thanks, Brad. We are back from the beach, tan and rested.
Tan is arguable, but you're rested.
I'm tan compared to the rest of the pasty people in Buffalo, New York, and fired up here to get back to talking about some insights for the staffing industry.
Well, Matt, let's do it.
Content Blueprint.
Back in January on episode 1 of Insights, Matt and I explained how to create a content plan for 2019. Well, with June upon us, it's time to reflect back on your overall goals. Matt, for our newer listeners, why don't you break down why we need to set goals with our content marketing?
If we don't have goals, it's very difficult to evaluate success. If, you know, at the start of any plan, it doesn't just think about, it could be a financial savings plan, it could be a weight loss plan, it could be wanting to run a 5K. If we need goals to help us determine success at the end. In content marketing, that comes back to, is our goals just to drive website traffic? Is it a goal to drive applications or sales leads? It could be just a goal to publish a piece of content every week, similar to what we've done with this podcast. One of our goals in January was to publish 2 podcasts a month.
Yeah, I think it always has to come back to those business goals. What are you trying to achieve as a staffing and recruiting firm? Is it more applications or more job orders? Once you've identified those goals, then you do exactly as Matt said. You break it down into bite-sized benchmarks, bite-sized goals. Monthly content, weekly content, daily content. What are you trying to do to work towards those major, bigger organizational goals? And now as we look at June as a halfway point through 2019, Matt and I wanted to bring it back to episode 1 where we talked about how to create a content plan for 2019 and how to evaluate if what you've done the past 6 months has had an impact on your business. So Matt, if we think about evaluating whether or not we were successful in our, let's say, 6 months of content here for our listeners that started with us in January, where should they get started? Where should they start looking?
That's a good question. You could, if your goal was just to publish, then just go back to your blog and see if you've actually published and hit those marks, if it was monthly or weekly or biweekly. You know, we could look at, if you're, you know, good at looking with data, you could look at some Google Analytics, I think, to look at page views, or if you can look at applications, or maybe talk to the sales team on the sales side, the recruiters on the recruiter side, because it's also a challenge in that somebody may apply for a job and they didn't come directly from a blog post. It's just your applications and your sales are increasing. So working with that team internally to see if quality is, you know, both on sales or the candidate side. So kind of circling back is let's find some hard data to see if your page views are increasing, if your applications are going up, if your sales inquiries are coming or increasing, to see that hard data to see, are we hitting that goal of how often we want to publish, but then is it leading to actual conversion pages of those applications and, you know, like a contact us form?
And you have to be honest with the data. Go back to the numbers, but be honest with yourself. If you set a goal in January of publishing 1 article every other week, and now we're looking at halfway through June, be honest with yourself. Did you hit those benchmarks? Did you hit that goal? And if not, where was there a challenge? What was difficult for you in hitting that goal, and how can you create efficiency? Is it creating a content plan? Maybe that's a little bit more stripped down. Maybe it's not every other week. Maybe it's once a month. Or is it having a better plan? How can you create a better plan so that you're set up for success at the beginning of the month? But we have to go back to those goals like we were talking about organizationally, more applications or more job orders, and actually having the conversation with your team. Hey, we've gone through a content strategy for the past 6 months. What are you seeing? What are you feeling? Are you instinctively feeling like we have more candidates coming through? And does the data support that?
We can also look at, going back to the team, asking them if any pieces of content have resonated with their prospects or current clients, if somebody has seen that content, and also look at the data to see if there's certain content that has earned more page views, earned more, a longer time on page, which is one of the metrics to look at to see if you have a blog that has 500 clicks and average time on page of 5 seconds, people are going to your page and not seeing what they want. If you have 100 clicks and people are spending 2 minutes on the page, that content is resonating a little more. So we also want to look at that content plan we started in January. We've mentioned this throughout the podcast. Sure. Does it need to shift or pivot a little bit for that second half of the year? You know, you may have that plan for July to December already done, but if you wrote a really good piece of content in February or March, try to repurpose it. Try to write something similar and continue to really push that content that's working well with your audience.
I couldn't agree more. We have to look at the data, have to see what was successful. And Matt, I think you make it a great point. Talk to the team and get their feeling on where they've seen success from content. Are prospects saying things about articles that they've maybe read? Are you hearing from candidates that as you send out resources, it's improving their interviewer, it's improving their process, their flow? Think about the impact that you've had more than just the numbers, but actually the impact that you've had on one candidate or one prospect, and then use that to your advantage as you plan the next 6 months of content. How can you upscale the articles that you've already made? And when I say upscale, it's taking one piece of content and turning it into another piece of content, whether that's an ebook or just another article maybe. But how can you use the information that you've gathered from January to June to make more strategic decisions from July to December?
And please remember that the content is for your target audience. It's not for you. It's not for a business owner. It's for the people you're trying to get to engage with your content, to work them down that funnel, to nurture that relationship, to get them to the point of reaching out to contact you.
Social reach.
Matt, this topic has been on my mind for a while now, so much so that I'm actually thinking about turning it into my next speaking pillar here at Haley Marketing Group. For 2 years, I've spoken for about 15 staffing associations and organizations sharing the roadmap to social media success. And what I've come to learn is social media isn't a silver bullet. It's not a perfect solution. And more importantly, social media is a tactic. It's part of a bigger marketing mix. Ultimately, it's a tool that can lead to more applications. But if your candidate experience is subpar, then the best social media strategy will prove to be ineffective. Matt, I want to turn it to you. From a recruitment marketing standpoint, let's break down the candidate experience and what we're talking about when we say the candidate experience.
It's a big question, Brad.
I expect a big answer.
Let's just think about from social media. Say you post a job, you post a piece of content, prospect candidate clicks on it, we're focusing on recruitment side, heads over to your website, and then really ends up to your application. I think that's the candidate experience we're really want to focus on. And we talk about some of the periphery a little bit, but when they get to that application, what's it like?
Sure.
Is it easy? Is it not easy? Does it take a long time to fill out the application? Is it easy to find the application? I guess would even be the first part is how easy is it for someone to go to your website and find that application?
I think it starts with you, the listener, going through and trying to apply to one of your jobs, both on desktop and mobile, and physically timing yourself on how long it takes to complete that application and whether or not you even can get through the entire application on mobile and desktop. For me, a candidate experience comes through exactly as Matt's saying. Can a candidate apply to your job how they want to apply? Not how you want to make them apply, but how they want to apply. So if you're getting them to apply on desktop, but all that they have is an iPhone or an Android device, is it a challenging process? Do you require an application that also attaches a resume and a cover letter? Well, if an individual is on their mobile device, do they have their resume on their phone? If not, how does that process change? Does the candidate get frustrated? You know, Matt, I was talking to Matt Swistak from our team a couple weeks ago here. We were discussing a client, and we were going through their candidate experience and going through how an applicant would actually apply to one of the jobs on their job board. And the desktop experience was great. Very, very easy to apply. But then I tried on my phone. Physically could not apply on my mobile device. What we found is that 57% of job board traffic was coming from mobile devices.
That's a problem.
57% of their possible candidates could not apply to the job that they wanted to apply for. Where do you think those candidates went, Matt?
The guy down the street or the gal down the street.
Absolutely. They found another staffing firm where they could apply on their terms. Candidate experience is everything. Social media is a critical tactic to drive more traffic back to your jobs, back to your content, back to your homeland and your website. But if the candidate experience is lacking, then the greatest social media strategy can't fix that.
And let's take this to that next step.
Please do, Matt.
Most people are viewing social media on mobile devices.
Correct.
So to kind of loop in the beginning of that segment, I mean, I don't have the number on top of my head, but I feel like 90% probably of social is consumed on a mobile device, where if they're then going to your website to apply for a job, you want to make it as easy as possible. And it's very interesting looking at this from the recruitment marketing world. In staffing, that application is very short and sweet.
Marketing yeah. Land says about 80% of social okay. media is done on a mobile.
Close enough. It's how, what's the process to get them to apply quickly? They could be at the bus stop. They could be in line at the grocery store. They could be anywhere. What can you do to grab that information quickly? And one candidate process that was very interesting was one of the clients were actually running programmatic advertising for, they're using Indeed Apply. So just to explain quickly, if your job is on Indeed, your application could be two different ways. It can be Indeed Apply, where somebody just clicks on it and it simply fills in their information from their Indeed application or their Indeed profile, or it could send them back to their your company's website. So for this company, they're using Indeed Apply. The recruiter would receive that email of Matt Lozar, Buffalo, New York, interested in a warehouse job. It's then on the recruiter to follow up with that interested candidate to fill out the full application. And in a really challenging market, right, unemployment, lowest it's been in 50 years, we have to make it simple in that capture process. What can you do to get that information quickly? And then it's a challenge. I understand there's a lot of people that are no-showing, ghosting interviews, ghosting applications, ghosting day one on the job.
Yep.
But what can you do just to get that candidate experience quickly and then let your recruiters go to work?
I know we're going kind of long here, Matt. We try to keep our segments, you know, around that 7-8 minute mark, but I do want to mention one more thing. Candidate experience doesn't end when the candidate clicks submit application. In a lot of ways, that's just the beginning, right? Now the recruiter has to onboard that individual, hopefully follow up. Think about what your team does as a process when they receive an application. Do they respond to every single application? Are they physically emailing every applicant? How long does it take for that to happen? Are they texting individuals? What is the process like after somebody submits an application and says, hey, I want to work for you in this role? What is their experience like? Is it positive or negative? Really think through that. And again, be honest with yourself so that you can identify where you can improve, where you can create a better candidate experience so that you can stand out from the noise and you can become the best staffing firm in your local market.
And maybe you even use a secret shopper technique.
You know,
it's easy if you're an owner of a staffing agency, hey, recruiter, what are you doing today?
Love
What's your
idea.
Process? Oh, of course, they're going to give you the answer you want to hear. We've been conditioned since we were 5-year-old to tell mom and dad what they want to hear. But can it be you? Can it be a friend? Can it be a family member? You know, maybe there's a service out there that actually provides this, but what can you do to secret shop that entire process to get actual interaction and data and candidate experience for someone going through your staffing agency's candidate experience and candidate application process?
Matt, I want to close out this segment just with two takeaways here because we went at length on the topic of candidate experience. For me, thinking through candidate experience comes through first actually applying to the job on your job board right now. on desktop and mobile, physically set up a timer, and try to apply to one of your jobs and see how long it takes. Do you get frustrated at any part of that process? And if so, what can you do to improve that? And then to Matt's point, consider secret shopping your process and your application process. Go through and have a friend or a family member apply to a job and document what happens from that point forward in a very objective light. Document what happens and document also how they feel about every step in the process so you can continue to improve and stand out.
Seen and heard.
Matt, let's dig into the AppCast Recruitment Media Benchmark Report. And being the director of recruitment marketing at Haley Marketing Group, I'm really going to turn this over to you. I want you to share your biggest takeaways from the report, and then we'll chat about any key takeaways and key findings from, again, the AppCast Recruitment Media Benchmark Report that we will link to in the show notes.
This is called a segue, Brad, in talking about mobile. And we spent that whole second segment on mobile.
Yep.
And one of the biggest takeaways from this report, and what this report does is it looks at candidate, essentially behavior, in applying for jobs and looking at some other factors that may influence it. And there's four big ones I think I'm going to focus on today. And the first one's mobile. Mobile clicks on jobs from mobile devices was up about 24% last year. Applications from mobiles is up 55%. If somebody can't apply to your job on a mobile device, you're missing out on their applications. And this is probably more in the HR side
Sure.
than the staffing side. And we know, I think from our own job board, mobile was 52% last quarter.
Yeah, it was 52% in May, and it was 50% last August. I know that data specifically.
Yeah, so we're seeing majority of our people going to our clients' job boards are coming from mobile. So check out that mobile application process for you. Some of the other things that could factor in are job title length, which I think staffing agencies generally do a pretty good job of. Job titles of 1 to 7 words are getting an application rate around 5.5%. If you go longer than that, you're about under 4%.
Really?
Yeah. So people want short, succinct job titles. They want warehouse worker. They don't want a 10-word job title. And
that's interesting because at least my thought would be the more catchy you can make that title, you might get more response. So that actually contradicts what I would think.
It is. Contradicting. I think they're a little bit different. Like in healthcare, there's a lot of like travel nursing, people will want to see the location of the job in the titles. So like if you're going to Odessa, Texas or Pullman, Washington,
right,
those are different areas. And then this other one, the Glassdoor rating, which was I think big last year. But if your Glassdoor rating is 3 stars or above, your application rate's around 6%. If it's less than that, it's under 4%. And what these last two are really important to me is with these big differences in application rates, let's use this last one from Glassdoor. If you have 100 clicks on your job and your Glassdoor rating is strong, you're getting 6 applications. If your Glassdoor rating is poor, for those 100 clicks, you're getting 4 applications. That's lost money.
Sure.
That's fewer applications because you're paying every time somebody clicks on the job.
Right.
So that's where that's really important.
And reviews are rather easy to generate. Think about all the candidates and individuals that you have out on assignment right now. How easy would it be for you to reach out to one individual and say, hey, Brad, I know you're having a great experience in this current role. Would you mind leaving us some feedback on Glassdoor? We'd really appreciate it. Think about how you can reach out one-to-one to different individuals and ask for that feedback. The majority of people, I believe it's 80%, 88%. We've talked about this on Insights before. People will leave you feedback if prompted to do so. It's a high number. All you need to do is first ask for that.
The prompt needs to come for the positive. We don't need prompts for negative reviews.
Correct.
No. So the last kind of really interesting set I found, and well, I'll recap these here a little bit, is people apply for jobs on Monday and Tuesday. It's about 36% of applications are coming in the beginning of the week, and about 18% are coming in on the weekends. So your takeaway is get your jobs up Sunday night or Monday morning so you're not wasting time or your spend on the weekends. Get your jobs up. So first thing Monday morning, apparently when people hate their jobs,
sure,
they're going to apply for new ones.
That's actually surprising to me as well. You would think that people are home on the weekends, and even if they're busy, they still have the time to apply. But like you said, they're frustrated. Maybe they had a bad meeting, and now they're lashing out immediately and looking for that next opportunity right away.
Yeah, my just total random takeaway would be if you come home from work on Friday, the last thing you want to do is come home and apply for a job. You want to enjoy your weekend.
Sure do.
So my four real takeaways is really look at your job titles. Focus on, you know, under 7 words or less. Takeaway two, look at your Glassdoor rating and other ones, Indeed, Yelp, Google, Facebook. And if you're not above 3 stars, work to find more ways to get positive reviews. 3, get your jobs posted, you know, Monday morning. They got to be at the top of the list to make sure your jobs are available for when people are applying for jobs. And lastly, apply for your jobs on mobile because people are going to mobile. Mobile applications are up 55% in the last year. That's an enormous jump, and it's not going down. We're going to apply for more jobs on mobile. We're going to get more clicks on mobile. And if someone goes to your job application and can't apply on mobile, or it takes them 15 minutes, or it requires their social security number, or any of the other bad practices we see from any companies around the country, they're going to go to your competitor and you're going to lose revenue.
It has to be in line with the candidate experience. Mm-hmm. All of this really comes back to what's in it for the candidate.
Correct.
They want to apply for a job on their terms, and they want it to be easy for them. Don't create a bottleneck because of your application process, especially with unemployment so low. We can't afford to have a bottleneck in the process.
And think about it. It's when do they want to apply for a job? Monday or Tuesday?
Yep.
They want to know what's in the job title easily. Yep. They don't want to have to guess. They want to work for a good company, the Glassdoor rating, and they want to do it on their mobile device. It really makes a lot of sense. And then the data is there to back it up. Kind of what Brad said earlier, what are your recruiters seeing? What does the data show? This is exactly it.
Always come back to the data, always trust the data, and always look at what's working and continue to exploit what is working in your overall strategy. That's a common theme on Insights as we're sharing these tips and best practices. It always comes back to the numbers. It comes back to the goals and what we're trying to achieve, and then how we can deploy various tactics to ultimately reach those goals. But it always has to come back to, are we reaching our main organizational goals of more applications and more job orders? That's our show, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we ask that you please share it with just one coworker this week. Have a question for us? You can tweet us at Haley Marketing and let us know what you're thinking, or email info@haleymarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You could check out haleymarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. My podcast partner, Matt Lozar. This is Brad Biley. See you next time.